This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. The iconic Coliseum Cafe in Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman is closing down because of the pandemic. So tonight, we're talking about the restaurant's legacy and the damning impact of COVID-19 on local businesses.
So first, we're going to look at the heritage value of Coliseum and how iconic businesses and buildings should be preserved. And then we discuss the restaurant's significance to Malaysian food culture. And finally, we talk about how we can help local businesses stay alive.
So we'd love to hear from you. What are your memories of the Coliseum Cafe? And what are some other former businesses that hold a special place for you? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08 and the Coliseum Cafe is closing. I cannot emphasize how sad this makes me because, it's one of those institutions. I think if you grew up in KL, it's one of those restaurants that everyone talked about, everyone had a memory of. And they've announced that they are now closing down permanently because of the impact of COVID-19.
Yes, so to be very specific, we're talking about the original Coliseum Cafe that was opened along Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, not necessarily the other Coliseum outlets that are located in PJ, Kuala Lumpur, Putrajaya, and they're going to remain open. But it is the institution that's the one that has announced that they're closing. And I think part of the shock has been the fact that it's not a cry for help. You know, sometimes when you hear about these old businesses closing down, they tell you like, hey, you know, we've been in trouble for a while and it looks like we're not going to be able to sustain it. But this was really more of a, it has happened, we're not able to sustain, we are closed. And if you look at the loss of it, they were supposed to celebrate their 100 years in operation this year. They opened in 1921. And for years and years, I think they were associated with steaks. They were associated with a special occasion. They were associated with maybe dinner and a movie because it's also adjacent to the Coliseum Cinema, which is another iconic KL landmark.
Yes, and you know, it is located in a pre-war building. That 100-year history, it's really evident in every part of the restaurant. If you go in, from the decor inside to some of the furnishing, which actually dates back to some of their early days.
To the waiters.
Yes, to the waiters, their uniforms, the food. It's, they've served basically Hainanese Western style cooking, colonial era food, which again, not really the trendiest of things perhaps, but certainly something that people have a lot of nostalgia for. But I think they've basically been the victims of something that a lot of other businesses have been going through, which is the lack of people being able to dine in. And I can understand why, because something like the Coliseum Cafe, no shade on the food or the quality, people go there for the experience. It's really one of those places that thrive on dine-in. And so I sadly understand why this has happened. I just feel like I don't know. It's a sense of nostalgia and sadness, and I wish that it didn't have to be so, I think.
I completely get it. I think also to your point about no shade to the food, the thing is that the last time that the restaurant actually served customers was last year in March, and that's right before the first MCO was implemented. That's an awfully long time. They were situated in a COVID-19 red zone. A lot of their customers were working from home. And also, if you've ever been to the Coliseum Cafe, really, its most famous dishes tend to be sizzling, and it's not something that you can order at home. I mean, I'm not about to rent a hot plate, right, necessarily, just so I can have my black pepper steak the way that they would serve it in the restaurant. But to your point about the experience, I think that this is actually something that a lot of F&B business owners have also been talking about. And in fact, a lot of customers would agree that being able to order the food at home is great, but it's only half, a quarter sometimes of the experience of why it is that we dine out. And if you've never been to the Coliseum Cafe, It's really special. I don't think I've ever been to anywhere else in Kuala Lumpur that felt the same, because one minute you're on the incredibly hot, chaotic mess that is Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, you know, people passing by, you look down the street, it's the fabric shops. And then the next thing is that you walk into this sort of smoky hall and it's filled with waiters in white kind of bussing steaks around. It's filled with people tucking their napkins into their collars. It felt very... very genteel and also very down to earth. It's very much a product of Malaysian Western dining. And I just, I don't know, it holds a special place in my childhood. I'm really sad to hear the news.
No, and this is coming on the wake of really many businesses expressing how difficult it's been to keep things afloat over the course of the last year, right? Just last week, the Federation of Malaysian Business Association and Industries Unite actually called for the government to work on that moratorium that's been announced under Pemakasa Plus. They're calling for a blanket loan moratorium, and all of these are things that could help the industry. And really, the Coliseum Cafe is the, I think, only the most obvious and perhaps the one of the most beloved examples of a problem that many other businesses are facing. So we are going to be discussing, I think, this issue of businesses, particularly long-standing businesses, and how the pandemic has impacted them. This is coming, of course, on the wake of Coliseum Cafe in Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman closing down. We'd love to hear from you. What are your memories of the Coliseum Cafe? And what are some other businesses, perhaps, that you hold dear, that hold special memories for you? You can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:16. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we are dedicating today's show to the Coliseum Cafe in Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, which has closed its doors, really, due to the impact of the pandemic. So we'd love to hear from you. What are your memories of the Coliseum Cafe? What are some other businesses that hold a special place for you? You can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Lynn, you mentioned that, like me, the Coliseum is, you know, holds a big sort of nostalgic pull for you. What brought you there in the first place? Do you remember?
My parents. They just said that, you know, there's this, it was just one of those, it's a Sunday, we have a special treat for you. And that was pretty much it. They were just like, this is a place that we used to go to from time to time, and it's been around forever. So let's go, let's check it out. And that's how we found ourselves there for the first time. And, you know, I'm not a huge meat eater anyway, so the food was really never the pull for me, but I really, really loved the experience. The fact that you enter and it's the bar right away and it just has that feel. I really enjoyed the vintage quality of it.
So ironically, even though I'm a complete KL person, I never actually went there until I was about 18. And I was taken there on a date by someone. This person wasn't from KL. He was from Ipoh. So he was, how can you be from KL and never had gone to Coliseum Cafe? Little did I know that my parents had secretly, well, not secretly, my mom's going to yell at me for this, but they've been going there for lunches all along, for lunch dates. I guess we weren't just invited.
So
it's that kind of place.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, when you very bitterly sit secretly, I'm like, hello, your parents are allowed to go on lunch dates to the Coliseum. I'm also curious, actually, I would love, love, love to hear from people who went to the Coliseum in its heyday. Because the thing is, by the time I went, it was already exactly that, right? It's an institution, which is a very different thing from going when it was maybe the new kid in town, or, you know, it was kind of maybe a hard reservation to get. I don't know. And also to hear from people who've seen Kuala Lumpur change, because sometimes when I drive into Kuala Lumpur, it's been a while actually, but when I drive in and I see the changing landscape, even I feel a pang. And that's just from somebody who's been working and driving, you know, for not that long a period. And I imagine for people who've been working for, like, I don't know, 40 years, the experience of watching KL change would be tremendously different.
And that part of KL specifically, because it really has changed so much. We do have on the line Vicky, who wants to share her experiences with the Coliseum. Good evening, Vicky. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my fond memories there The first time we went there, brought by our parents, all schooling. Little brother, youngest one, was 5 years old. He was made to wear long black pants, long white T-shirt, black vest, bow tie. Very smart looking little boy. Went inside the carpeted restaurant. And then after sitting a while, he decided to do somersault down the carpet.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, somersault down the carpet. We were all really aghast at what he was doing. Yeah. Another place I really liked was Majestic Hotel. Grown up and, you know, went for tea there. The Majestic Hotel had a tea time and now it has been built over, but there used to be a little lawn there where you can, you know, you can look out very nice, have tea there as well as inside. And there was this dome thing that reminded me of the White House and whole day with light coming in. And it was really nice. And the toilet, if you go to the toilet, it has this little beaded strings dangling from the, you know, down like curtain, you know. So it was really old time there. So it was really sad when, yeah, they want to close down the Majestic as well.
Yeah, I think that feeling of a place that holds so much memories being being closed or torn down, it's very difficult to describe. And even if we hadn't been there for years, it feels like something's being taken away from us.
Yes, very true. I mean, it's all these icons are just going away bit by bit. Yeah?
Thank you, Vicky, for your thoughts.
Okay, right, thanks.
What a lovely memory, right? Somersaulting.
I had the image in my mind and I was a little bit horrified because my memory of Coliseum is actually this very stern floor manager with a very loud voice. I'm sure he was lovely, but I was also very scared of him. And I'm just imagining the look on his face seeing a somersaulting boy in the restaurant.
I mean, I'm hoping that it's delight, but the truth is that any of us who've had a dining experience with an exuberant child, I think not always received with joy.
So we've got so many messages about the Coliseum Cafe. Do share your thoughts with us, your memories, whether about Coliseum or any other business or restaurant that you hold close to you. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have these.
We have our guest. So joining us now to discuss a little bit of the heritage value is Elizabeth Cardoza, heritage conservation expert. We will return to the messages shortly. Please keep them coming. But in the meantime, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you for the invitation.
So we've been talking about our feelings. How do you feel about the Coliseum Cafe in Jalan Tar closing?
Well, you know, it's sort of like, how do I put it? It's the passing of an era, I think, you know, it really is. It's not just about the nostalgia or the memory, but it really is sort of a whole character and a whole identity of a time and a place that's just not, you know, because so much else has disappeared from that street in terms of the you know, it was such a vibrant, important commercial centre for KL, through to maybe the 1970s, 1980s even. And then, of course, the commercial centres moved, the banking centres moved. But, you know, the Coliseum was always there. And shows my age, yeah, when I talk about it. But it was something that everybody I knew who was familiar with it kept going back to it once in a while, you know, for memory's sake, for the sake of just, you know, being there and smelling the smells and you know, just feeling the ambiance, good, bad, ugly, whatever, you know, but that character and that historical identity, I think, was what people would have gone for.
What is the cafe's heritage value?
Well, I think really it has to do with the Hainanese cooking, right? The Hainanese cuisine. It's the fact that you had it historically, at least that's what the historians seem to say, the Hainanese came a bit later than the Cantonese and the Hakka. And when they, by the time they arrived, you know, after the sort of the middle toward the end of the 19th century into the 20th century, there are a lot of that they started filling posts, which were house help, cooks, you know, other kinds of support services. They weren't working in the mine, so to speak. They weren't working as the hard labor of the mines or the hard labor of the builder. And then out of that came this Hainanese, what we think about as Hainanese cuisine. And I think that if you were to go to Taiwan, you know, they would go like, say what? You know, I don't think we recognize those flavors. But it was sort of this combination of the colonial master with the local, you know, Malayan flavors and tastes and spices and smells, and really quite different. And then with this Chinese cooks. And so you get this fusion, which really we don't think about it as fusion, right? But, you know, in a way it is. And I think that it is that legacy. And the Colosseum kind of representing that. It's like beef steak. You know, it's like not just beef. It's not just a steak. It's beef steak. You know, it's a chicken chop, you know? and that's the kind of memory of my memory of the Colosseum is there. Thick slices of bread with butter, real butter, freshly pressed orange juice, and a beef steak. I mean, a sizzling steak, right? You know, just imagine that, or a chicken chop, or a prawn salad. I mean,
it's the cocktail like, prawns.
The cocktail prawns. Do you remember that? You know,
such a luxury.
With this over infusion of mayonnaise with tomato and chili sauce in it. I mean, if you think about it and you start to analyze, you go like, weird. Because it's not something you would see on a Western, you know, in a Western menu. But it's something that we here begin to expect. And that's why we call this type of cuisine, I mean, apart from the high, but, you know, even in the stalls nowadays, if you go to a coffee shop, you know, you will see Western cuisine, right? And it sort of has, it's come out of that, I think.
Elizabeth, you know, I feel, unfortunately, we only ever speak to you when there's bad news, right? When a building,
oh, no!
When a building is under threat, when a business is closing. But, you know, beyond having these institutions stay open, are there ways to maybe think about preserving the cultural and historical relevance of these spaces?
Certainly in terms of the value of the cuisine, I think it's there already, you know. I mean, it is just, we just treat it as part of our Malaysian cuisine. And I'm not talking about the Hainanese chicken rice. I am talking about the Hainanese chicken chop, you know, with peas and thick brown gravies or whatever, and different people's versions of it. The legacy, I feel, that is not remembered, maybe, and not, you know, is the legacy of the Hainanese or cook that you found throughout the country. And it was really a little bit of a, you know, I'm not going to say elite, but it was something that you would find in rest houses, you would find in the old Malayan Railway, or even then, you know, even when it was still KTM, the buffet car. And then in restaurants like the Colosseum and it's like, and it was, so it wasn't coffee shop, right? But it was restaurant, and it was the hill stations, the bungalows at the hill stations. So it evokes a particular sense of perhaps a little bit more elite class that it came out of. But then, of course, all of that's changed. You know, the country's changed, the people have changed, we've moved on. And so you're right, you know, how do we retain that? Different people have tried. So, you know, it's become par for the course to think about fusion food. and to highlight this type of food as something which is distinctly Malaysian. And I think very distinct Malaysian Singaporean, you know, the character of our neighborhoods in the West Coast, perhaps, and cities. But it was there in the plantations. It was there it's part of that character and that identity of us. So we don't even think about it as we need to preserve it because it's there, which is in a way great. But it would be nice if we could actually sort of remember it a little bit more, the history of it when we do. So yeah, we should talk about it. And I'm happy to be on your show.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Not at all. Pleasure.
That was Elizabeth Cardosa, heritage conservation expert. We never have enough time to speak to her, but she is going to be on again tonight on BFM's I Love KL. That's at 9 p.m. So she will be having a chat with Hanif Baharuddin on the Coliseum Cafe as an establishment that was a product of its time. So stay tuned for that. We'd also love to hear from you. Share your memories of the Coliseum Cafe. Send them our way. And coming up after this, we'll talk more about the food legacy of the restaurant. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the closure of the Coliseum Cafe on Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman and, you know, reflecting on its legacy and in a larger sense, talking about what it means when it comes to preserving businesses like this. So we've been asking you for your memories of the Coliseum Cafe, and there are just so many.
Man, you guys are delivering. There are a lot of really great memories. So we have, I want to read my personal favorite, which is from Margaret, who says, the Coliseum Bar was a favorite watering hole for expatriate British men. I remember calling the Coliseum and asking for my husband, and the waiter answered, "Not here, not here," with my husband and his mates yelling, "Not here, not here," in the background.
I can imagine that scene in my head. It's so vivid. There's this from MZ who says, "My fondest memory of Coliseum Cafe was in 2002 when my dad took me shopping for luggage and winter clothing in Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman or Batu Road before I left for the US to do my bachelor's degree. It was my first and last time. I remember just how different it was as a Western restaurant with that distinct uniform of the waiters and the ambiance. Shopping for winter clothing on Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman is in itself a KL institution."
I know, just another rite of passage that a lot of us go through. We're also getting messages from people who never went and are now kind of having a little bit of regret. So Maggie says, "Sad about the Coliseum Cafe closing down. To me, it was Malaysia's equivalent of the Orient Express. So, you know, its shut down would be yet another nail in the Malaysian heritage coffin. I was a KLite, now a PJ Kaki, but I've never been into the Coliseum Cafe because when I was young, we couldn't afford it. And then when I was a young, unappreciative adult, it was not a hip hangout place, and now it's too late."
Oh dear, I'm sorry about that. It wasn't ever hip, even for me, but it was one of those things. And just a quick one from Stephen, who says, "I loved the cold meat dish served at the Coliseum restaurant. It was a plate of three varieties of meat: chicken, beef, pork, mashed potatoes and peas, and a kind of sauce. It was 30 ringgit in the 80s. Beer was charged separately."
There you go.
Just so many dishes are coming to mind. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us at 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now joined by Naj Arifin, who is a food and heritage historian, to talk us through the place that the Coliseum Cafe holds within our food culture. Naj, thank you for joining us.
Hi. Yep, great to be here. Yes, the Coliseum is really, really a sad thing to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering if you had personal memories or stories that you'd like to share about the Coliseum.
Well, my personal memories actually began professionally because I, besides being an architect, I'm also an architectural tourist guide. And so that was one of the Coliseum Cafe and Hotel. Don't forget, there's a hotel as well. It was one of the iconic architectural places. That's something people also forget. People always remember the food, the bar, the restaurant, which is fine. Of course, that's what it's most famous for. But people forget that it's also an architectural and cultural institution as well. So being a tourist guide, that was one of my fondest memories, bringing tourists there, seeing how appreciative they are of something that is part of our national heritage. So that's one of the biggest losses. It's not just the food, it's not just the restaurant, but also the whole package. Yeah.
And, you know, something that we wanted to explore with you was, ironically enough, the food. So we're going full circle and coming
sure.
to it.
Yes.
And it is known, as we heard from our guest earlier, Elizabeth Cardoza, for its Hainanese, its Western-inspired colonial-era cuisine. Can you talk to us about the unique characteristics of this food?
Okay, now, to understand the Hainanese influence in the kind of food that is served at the Colosseum Cafe, we need to know a little bit about Hainan in China. And Hainan itself is China's southernmost province. It is made up largely of the island of Hainan, which is about 33,000 square kilometers, and that's slightly smaller than Pahang State. So, you know, you have a reference there. Now, the people of Hainan, they have a slightly different outlook than mainland China because they did not suffer as much from the many historical things that were happening on mainland China. And so they were one of the later groups. The Hainanese were one of the later groups to come over to Southeast Asia, to Malaya in particular. And so when they did come, starting from the early 1900s, whereas some of the others like the Cantonese, the Hakka, the Hokkien, they had been here since the later part of the 19th century. But for the Hainanese, they began arriving in larger numbers in the early 20th century. So when they arrived, the other Chinese dialect groups had already taken up much of the other economic activities. And so one of the economic activities which was still very, very open was food. And so that's why you hear of Hainanese people being very good cooks and chefs and working with restaurants, with the British, with the colonials, because that was one of the economic activities that was easiest to get into when other things were already quite saturated. And so the other thing was being Hainanese from a subtropical island such as Hainan, their cooking styles were slightly more easier to integrate with the tropical style of cooking that we have in Southeast Asia. So it was a natural thing that gelled together and made the Hainanese style of cooking become something that became so much an ingrained part of Chinese Malaysian cuisine. Now, its connection to the Colosseum is that, again, since the Colosseum was open around 1920, 1921, and so at that time, there were a lot of Hainanese people coming and looking for work. So the early chefs, the early cooks there were Hainanese. And so they used their cooking skills. They learned the local preferences and resulted in a Hainanese Western fusion colonial era kind of cuisine, which was so much beloved of the Colosseum Cafe. So that's the background of it. Yeah.
So when it comes to this Hainanese/Western-inspired colonial cuisine, what are some of those hallmark dishes that immediately come mm-hmm. to mind?
Okay. The hallmark is the mix of spices, the mix of not just spices, but the mix of there's a sort of a trio there. Okay, if you think of the ubiquitous, the signature Hainanese chicken rice, which is of course one of the staples at the Colosseum Cafe, besides the others, the crab, the stuffed crab, and the chicken chop. You know, all of them have Hainanese touch to them. Now, going back to the Hainanese chicken rice, okay, there's that trio, which is the mashed garlic, the mashed ginger, and then the garlic chili, as well as the soy sauce, okay? So those three come together as part of a signature, which is put into a lot of the other Hainanese dishes as well, including the crab and so on. And it's also seen in the sauces. The Hainanese chefs were able to very, very astutely mix the flavors that were what the colonials liked. And that's where the chicken chop came in, the Hainanese chicken chop. You know, it's neither totally Hainanese, it's neither totally Western. It's a lovely fusion of both. And so it's generally Hainanese cuisine is considered lighter than many of the other styles of the mainland, and which fits very well with the Western palate. You know, they can't take too spicy unless it's watered down a little. So that's where it came in as Western come Hainanese.
So what role ultimately did places like the Coliseum Cafe play in the restaurant and food culture of Malaysia, particularly when it comes to the idea of dining out, you know, having a special occasion meal?
Okay, now, we must remember that the Coliseum Cafe is not actually a kind of street restaurant. It's more upmarket. From the very beginning, it was more, in fact, at the very, very beginning, it was really very, very upmarket. If you recall in history, in the early days when it was first opened, you couldn't even get in without a tie on. You needed to be fully, you know, formally dressed in the colonial era style to be able to even get in during the peak hours. And so, of course, that's changed so much totally. But there we need to remember it's not a street food kind of thing. You know, maybe the food itself, you can find it on the street with the Hainanese chicken rice. But as I was saying earlier, it's more of a package. So that is part of our subset of Malayan and Malaysian food culture, which is on the upmarket side. Yeah. So when you talk of upmarket, you're not just talking about the taste. Okay. For the taste, you can find it anywhere. Even street food, you know, that taste is always what you look for. But for the Coliseum Cafe, you're not just looking for the taste, you're looking for the entire experience. You're looking for that feel when you go in, you see the furniture, you sit on that old furniture. It may not be as comfortable as modern furniture, but that heritage feel is what makes you love it so much. It's that harking back to the old days, you know, you feel as if it was simpler in those days, where actually it's just as complicated as it is now. But, you know, you always feel like the olden days were simpler. So that is where the value of the Coliseum Cafe is. It brings us to a time when we thought that life was simpler. And so, you know, that's just part of what it was, that overall ambience, which includes the food.
Naj, thanks so much for joining us today.
Most welcome. Glad to be here.
That was food and heritage historian Naj Arifin, situating Coliseum Cafe within our larger food culture and food history. And we've, of course, been asking you for your own memories of Coliseum Cafe. And we do have Ryan on the line. Good evening, Ryan. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, Shamala. So actually, I have a bit of a story of this Coliseum. Excuse me. So this place is a very iconic place. I think back in those days, during the planters era, this place is even very well known among the planters back in UK. Back in UK, and. Planters those days, people who founded Softfin, Guthrie, Sam Darby, those people, they like to dine there. They love the food there because the food there actually is a mess of food, right? Because the Hainanese cook, actually, they learn from the Western people how to cook. And from there, they do up their own, and they start a restaurant, and it became a hit. And it was such an icon until today. And I think some listeners out there would pick up this idea and maybe could start to promote this place and bring back those nostalgic days.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Ryan.
Thank you.
keep those thoughts coming. You know, if you've heard the Coliseum Cafe is closing down because of the pandemic, we'd love to hear your memories of it, but also other places that have shut down that might hold a special place for you. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll talk about what we can do to support Malaysian business. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:52. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about the closure of the iconic Coliseum Cafe on Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman. And now we're extending that conversation to the question of what we could be doing. How can we support more local businesses as the pandemic continues to really prove to be a very challenging time for them? So we'd love to hear from you, meanwhile, about your memories of Coliseum Cafe. So many lovely ones are coming through already. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now joined by our fellow BFM producer and presenter from the Enterprise Show, Audrey Raj. Audrey, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, guys.
So you guys are doing a campaign here on the station, and that's called Buy from Malaysia. Tell us about that and what you hope to achieve with it.
Well, Sham, so Buy from Malaysia actually kicked off just this morning. And what Enterprise is trying to do with this is to kind of shine the spotlight on small businesses that are doing us proud right now. Now, in the words of one of our regulars, George Aveling, this pandemic has unleashed an army of home-based entrepreneurs who have, well, like they've opened us up to some amazing experiences while we've been trapped at home, right? So, you know, your home bakers, your caterers and cooks, your handmade jewelry artists, the dude who makes candles at home, you know, or DIY kits for your kids, you know, the small businesses whose only tools are Instagram, Facebook, or even WhatsApp, right? Now, we've been sneaking these guys into our shows over the last year or so, but we thought it's time to give them a proper push on air, you know, to open everyone up to the treasures that they can find online, something that would get more Malaysians to basically buy from Malaysia.
So, you know, Ods, you've interviewed lots and lots of F&B guests on the show, both before the pandemic, throughout the pandemic. What have been their biggest challenges in this time?
The biggest challenges, if you ask me businesses in general, then I would say cash flow. You know, everyone mentioned cash flow. But F&B businesses specifically, it would have to be the flip-flopping SOPs and also maybe right now the not allowing dine-ins. You know, that's been hard for them. You know, yes, they're taking delivery orders, the majority of them, but if you ask F&B owners, and many of them will only admit this privately, because they don't want to upset their delivery partners, but the cut per order that they have to hand over to your food pandas and your Grab Foods, this is hurting these businesses. I mean, even if the government allowed one diner per table, that's still 100% of the bill that goes to these businesses. But, you know, when they, you know, when you factor in the delivery fee, that, you know, cuts out a sizable chunk. So while they're grateful to get delivery orders during this time, you know, during this MCO, with the help of their delivery partners, it's still quite a hit to a certain extent.
So what can we be doing to help local businesses stay afloat during this MCO?
Well, I'll bring it back to our campaign, you know, Buy from Malaysia. Support your local businesses, your favorite shops, you know, support the hawker uncle at your favorite food court, get the shop makcik's number and, you know, save it on your phone so you can call ahead and tapau food, you know, instead of having it delivered, you know. You know, share your favorite brands on social media as well so that your friends will order and their friends will order, give them some exposure. And also, what we've been trying to do is just to check up on these entrepreneurs, on these small businesses. You know, you won't believe the stories of struggle we've heard when, you know, as you're paying for your meal or as you're paying for something that you've purchased at the grocery store, just like ask them, how's it been going? You won't believe the kind of stories we've heard when you've had the chance to just check in on them. And if you care enough for these small businesses and these entrepreneurs, then, you know, just buy from Malaysia.
Audrey, thanks for joining us today.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
That was our fellow BFM producer and presenter from the Enterprise team, Audrey Raj. Do listen out for our Buy from Malaysia capsules that are running throughout the station. And of course, where you can, do shop local. And on that note, of course, the reason we're talking about this is that the Coliseum Cafe has shut down. And we've been getting so many messages about memories. Just a very quick look at some of them.
So we have this from Vijay, who says, stained tablecloth, grumpy waiter uncles, Chateaubriand, best Brussels sprouts. So sad I'll never be able to take my kids here. We have to set in our policies to preserve these sorts of iconic places. And Vijay, I love your message, particularly because we're getting so many FOMO messages, right, of people who've not been able to make their way there. And this sets the tone. That is exactly what you would get when you walked into the Coliseum Cafe.
We have Lynette, who says, my memory is of Dad bringing us for a treat on special occasions. When I started working in KL, my colleagues and I would go there for a treat. Same with the Le Coq d'Or, which sadly closed much earlier. We do have Chow Tai Hee, who also brought up Le Coq d'Or. Mm. That's not a place that I've been to, but clearly it also holds similar kinds of nostalgia for many people.
Yeah, I've realized that it comes up whenever we talk about conservation, actually. Whenever we talk about KL institutions, it is a name that comes up. I've looked at photos of it before, but I myself have not actually been. Speaking of an institution that is still around, we also have Ken Hong on Twitter saying, don't forget about Teochew Sik Yun in Pudu, which is a restaurant from 1948, which I've been to many, many times, and it is great. It is also a time capsule of a place. You walk in, there's a bit of a safety hazard with the chairs, I have to say. I think the chairs have also been around since 1948, but it is such nostalgic Chinese restaurant food from a certain period. It's fantastic.
Do continue sharing your memories of the Coliseum Cafe or any other place really that holds a special place in your heart, in your memories. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.